the Father's love be
in the morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you today? You're listening to St. Mark and Bemidji's podcast, the program that is sweeter to the ears than the secondary injectors of a turbo mecha jet engine kicking in on startup. There's never a bad time to study God's word. The sun is setting. Soon night will come when no one will be able to work. This is the perfect time to think on what God wants us to know about life, the afterlife, and everything in between. Thanks for stopping in today. Before we get into today's meditation, I'd like to tell you about a couple of important ministries at our church that you might not know about. Did you know that St. Mark has an email prayer list? We would love for you to join us in prayer for our brothers and sisters, and also for you, if you, your loved ones, and family so desire. I don't send out junk mail or try to get you to buy anything with it. I actually type out the whole thing weekly. There is no concern of our hearts that our Father doesn't want to hear about. We pray for many and varied topics. If you'd like to join us, our door is always open to you. Send me an email at john.kirk@stmarksbemidji.org and I'll get you added to the list or tell you more about it. We also have a school that offers K through 8th grade education and a safe, supportive Christian environment. If you're ready to give your child the solid foundation they need to be the light of the world, let us know. If you don't have kids or yours are already grown up, don't forget to tell your friends about us. Enrollment is already underway for fall, and our tuition rates are quite reasonable. Today's meditation comes to us from Woodlake, Minnesota, and is titled, Peace Be With You. I'd like to encourage you, after you listen to the podcast today, to check out St. John's channel on YouTube. They hosted a wonderful hymn-sing event last Sunday afternoon, and it's posted now for viewing at your convenience. If you enjoy powerful scriptural lyrics, talented choirs, and instrumentalists of all types, and one random French horn player, you'll enjoy watching this event. And now, let us meditate on the Word of the Lord together.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus had heard the Easter message. They knew that the tomb was empty. They knew that angels had appeared to some of them and were told that Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus had even appeared to Peter and to two other of the disciples and to Mary. But still, on that night of that evening of that first Easter day, the disciples are gathered together, behind locked doors, in fear. Fear of what? The Jews, perhaps. Perhaps they were afraid that what they did to Jesus, they would come and now do to them, his disciples. Or perhaps afraid that they were going to be blamed for Jesus' missing body. Afraid of what else might then happen to them. Afraid, in any case, of whatever is on the other side of that locked door, if they don't keep it locked. And it could be anything. But perhaps their fear is just as much internal as it is external. What if, do you suppose? What if he is alive? I don't think that they were afraid of seeing Jesus alive like they would be afraid of seeing a zombie or your imagination of what someone would look like coming out of their grave. And yet, keep in mind that these are the same men who had promised that they would never leave Jesus. And yet most of them fled at the first sign of danger. Among them is Peter, who swore oaths that he didn't even know Jesus in order to save himself. These are those who have likely harbored even worse doubts and were no doubt afraid of what Jesus would say to them if he was really alive. And if he is really alive, that means he is really God. What will he do to us? But to his gathered disciples, the risen Christ does not come banging on the door. Instead, he comes to them in his own way. When he comes to them, he appears to them, he says to them without a hint of rebuke, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. You and I are also disciples of Jesus, gathered together on the first day of the week. And I think that perhaps we might lock the doors too, here, if we thought that they could keep out the things of which we are afraid. But doors can't keep cancer out. Nor can they keep out accidents, failure, disappointment, loneliness, sadness. And locking the doors most certainly can't keep death out. What is going to happen to us, his disciples? And what if it's true? That he's alive, and he is, in fact, the true Son of God, who sees all and knows all. What will he say to you when he sees you? What will he say to you who have denied him with your behavior, or your dirty mouth, or your internet history, or your biting tongue, or your cowardice in the face of temptation, or your laziness in prayer? What a relief then. What comfort. That Jesus would come and stand among us, and he says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." Yes, yes, even with you. Though he knows what you have done, still he stands among you and he brings peace. He doesn't bring peace as the world gives. These are no empty words. He doesn't come and say, don't worry about it. No big deal. Rather, he stands among us and, as it were, he shows us his hands and his side. As if to say, "See, this is how much your sin cost." But as if to say, "See, this was for you, for your peace." And perhaps now his disciples call to mind Isaiah's words, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we have been healed." His wounds is for the calming of fears. It is for the forgiveness of sins. One of Jesus' disciples wasn't there on that first Easter, Thomas. We don't know why he was gone. We don't know where he was. But for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't there, and therefore Thomas did not receive what the other disciples received that day. And as a result, of his not being there, he would not believe. We perhaps could say and establish that then when we miss out on a gathering of Jesus' disciples on the first day of the week, we call it Sunday. When we miss out on Sunday on Jesus' presence in our midst, when we miss even one Sunday, we miss out. We miss something. We don't hear, we don't receive what Jesus wanted to give to us that day. That particular peace that he wanted to give you, that he knew you needed that day. Fortunately for us, Sunday comes again. And this time, the next time, Thomas doesn't skip church. I expect that this is the only time ever where there were more people in church the Sunday after Easter than there was on Easter. Thomas was now with them. Their numbers were up. But the same thing happens. Disciples are gathered. The doors are locked. Jesus comes. Peace be with you. Did you notice? Did you catch it? Same thing. The doors are locked. Still. A week later, and the fear of someone coming in and hauling them off is still there. The peace that Jesus gives and brings doesn't necessarily take away the exterior fears we may have of what will happen to us. And he repeats what he said before. He still says, "Peace be to you," to those who heard that same sermon last Sunday. Same liturgy, 2 weeks in a row. But truth is, their internal fears may not go away either. And Jesus' disciples are always in need of hearing this very thing from Jesus. The forgiveness of sins that comes from his wounded, living body is a constant need. Just as the fears which plague us from within and from out, without, are constantly with us. Of course, there is another disciple who wasn't there either Sunday, who didn't hear Jesus' words, who didn't see Jesus' wounds. And I'm not talking about Judas, who is now dead. I'm talking about you. For Jesus was talking about you, too. There in that room, on both Sundays, he was talking about you. You are the one who has not seen, but yet, by a miracle, you believe. But also, on Easter evening, on the first Sunday, within a day of Jesus, on the very day that Jesus rose from the dead, he was thinking of you. So he appeared to his disciples. He said, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and his side. And then he says again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus sends out these disciples, making them his apostles. That's what the word apostles means, sent ones. The Holy Spirit, which they receive, is the gift that brings all of the goods of Jesus won upon the cross by his death and resurrection to all who hear and receive it. That is, to you. By sending them, his apostles, Jesus is instituting an apostolic office of men sent by him at his command to say what he says, to give what he wants to give, instead of now standing and coming and appearing amongst us visibly. Jesus sends someone to stand in his stead, and by his command, under orders to do what Jesus bids him to do. They are to calm the fears of men by the forgiveness of their sins. This comes to us in the office of a pastor whose primary task, really only task, is this word of Jesus, is the forgiveness of sins in him. That is the peace of God. Peace be with you. In a sense, it's the only tool in his toolbox. The peace of Jesus in the forgiveness of sins again and again to Jesus' disciples who need to hear it. Again and again. Why? Why isn't it not good enough once? Maybe because you still lock your doors. Maybe it's because you're still afraid of all kinds of things, all kinds of uncertain things, and all kinds of dreadful things which you, in your imagination, picture happening to you and fear. And behind every single one of those things lurks the terror that is in your conscience and the perpetual and lingering fear of death. Understand that the forgiveness of sins and the peace of Jesus won't necessarily take away all scary things. It won't take away all external things which threaten to harm you. It won't erase from our minds and memories those internal fears. But if Jesus really gives it to you, if he really gives you his peace to you by the message of his sent servant, what do you have to fear? Really? And so instead of showing up visibly, instead of now showing you his hands and his side, inviting you to touch his wounds, Jesus, I think, does even more for you than he does for Thomas. You don't stick out your hand and touch his side, his body. But instead, he reaches out his hand through his servant and he places it on your head in holy absolution. By his hand, he reaches out and pours water over the head of a child or to you. He reaches out his hand through his servant to place his own body onto your tongue and to pour his blood into your mouth to give you the fruit of his wounds. From his wounds come the forgiveness of sins. And that's why you will see him here every single Sunday, lifted up before you, not lifted up on a cross, but lifted up under bread and wine. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And you believe it, though you have not seen him. And you respond in belief, Amen. And further respond by singing, O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. Unless our Lord returns 8 days later, after 8 more days, we will again be back here, likely with the same fears, troubles, doubts, and nagging sins. And according to the same promise, Jesus will once again stand among us. Same peace, same spirit, same wounds, same body and blood. Once again to forgive, to comfort, to assure, to save, to bless you. And blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe, and therefore wouldn't miss it for the world. Amen.
I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday Divine Service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and His Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.